Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller. Today, we're going to be talking with Lorna Vanderhaeghe. We're going to be talking about your energy levels and the relationship to weight gain. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Brad King about his book, Dirty Diets. But before we do anything, here's Alan with the health news.
Social ties are as important to your long-term health as exercise and healthy eating, a new study suggests. Study co-author Liang Clara Yang, a professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, said in a news release, "Our analysis makes it clear that doctors, clinicians, and other health workers should redouble their efforts to help the public understand how important strong social bonds are throughout the course of all of our lives." For the study, the investigators analyzed data from four surveys of Americans who range from adolescents to seniors. First, they looked at social integration, social support, and social strain. They then evaluated four indicators of health: blood pressure, waist circumference, body mass index, and systemic inflammation that are linked to heart disease, stroke, cancer, and other diseases. The more social ties people had at a young age, the better their health early and late in life, the researchers found. The study was published January 4th in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. High blood sugar levels can increase the risk of complications in heart attack patients, a new study suggests. Researchers found that high blood sugar causes stronger contraction of blood vessels and also identified a protein associated with this increased contraction. The findings could lead to new treatments to improve outcomes after heart attack or stroke, the study authors said. A heart attack occurs when an artery that provides blood to the heart is blocked. High blood sugar at the time of a heart attack could make this blockage more severe by causing the artery to contract, resulting in a higher risk of complications, according to the research team at the University of Leicester in England. Richard Rainbow, a lecturer in cardiovascular cell physiology, said, "We have shown that the amount of sugar or glucose in the blood changes the behavior of blood vessels, making them contract more than normal." The study was published online recently in the British Journal of Pharmacology. More than 1 million Americans are diagnosed with cancer each year, but there are a number of things you can do to reduce the chances you'll be among them. First, it's important to get regular checkups and cancer screening tests because they increase the odds of detecting cancer at its earliest stages when treatment may be more effective, said Dr. Don Daly, attending surgeon at Fox Chase Cancer Center in Philadelphia. There are screening tests for many types of cancer, including breast, cervical, colorectal, and prostate cancers. To reduce your cancer risk, Daly recommends maintaining a healthy weight, being active, and eating healthy foods. Individuals who lead physically active lifestyles have a lower risk of certain cancers than those who are sedentary, he said. A balance of diet and exercise can help you stay at a healthy weight today and into your future. An exercise program meant to boost coordination of muscles that control and support the spine can help reduce lower back pain, a new study suggests. This type of program, called motor control exercise, begins with patients practicing normal use of these muscles by doing simple tasks, usually with guidance from a therapist or expert. The exercises gradually become more demanding and include activities that patients typically do during work or recreation. Researchers analyzed data from 29 clinical trials that included more than 2,400 people aged 22 to 55 with lower back pain. The trials compared the effectiveness of motor control exercise with other types of exercise or with doing nothing. Patients who did motor control exercise showed greater improvement with less pain and disability than those who did nothing. When comparing motor control exercise and other types of exercise after 3 to 12 months, similar improvements in the motor control group were seen. The study was published January 7th in the Cochrane Library.
Thanks for that, Alan. Well, our first guest, Lorna Vanderhaeghe, has written numerous books and is an expert in the area of women's health. Lorna, welcome to the show. So we're just having a little bit of technical problems and just getting Lorna on the phone. Lorna is a frequent contributor to the show and has written a number of books, including Women's Guide to Healthy Hormones and other books. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Brad King. He's going to be talking about dirty diets and exposing dietary lies that are keeping you from looking and feeling your best. Both Brad and Lorna have been on the show a number of times, and we're looking forward to having them on today. Just want to tell you that, you know, in our coming weeks, we're going to be having a number of new guests coming on, including Jeff Sanders. He's talking about the 5 a.m. miracle and how you can increase your energy and get better sleep through a variety of different techniques. We'll be talking with him next week. And we're going to be talking with the DASH Diet Detox, how you can detox quickly. And we're going to be talking with Kate Barrington. But here we go. We have Lorna on the line. Lorna, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, too. So this time of year, there's a lot of women and men that are really concerned about doing something different and, making their lives healthier in 2016. What are some of the techniques that you suggest people should consider?
Well, I think we're all, it's the New Year's resolution time, and people are looking for the main things, to lose weight. I think what we have to do is start to put systems in place that are going to work for us. And, it can be as simple as just making a decision to eat more vegetables or find time for yourself. And I know even for myself that this year, my 2016 resolutions were to make sure that I booked time to go to the gym a couple of times a week. So I'm really working towards that type of thing. And, if you don't find the time to even do these simple processes, whether it's more eat more vegetables, not drink as much alcohol, reduce your coffee consumption, or exercise a bit more, you really won't make it happen.
You've done a lot of research in terms of, what really works, for people that are, either trying to lose weight or trying to, balance their hormones. What are some of the things, specific things that people can do on a regular basis that can really make a difference in terms of their energy levels, this year and weight gain?
So if we're looking at energy in particular, so the first thing is if you're a woman or if you're a man who does a lot of exercise, go and have your iron checked. And this is a simple blood test. You would have two of them. One is called a hemoglobin and the other is ferritin. And if you have a low hemoglobin or a low ferritin, and you don't even have to be anemic, you just have to be in the low normal range, you will feel tired. You'll feel tired. You won't have any energy. You won't be able to exercise. You'll be the one who's huffing and puffing after 5 minutes. You will also, in women, this is the leading reason for hair loss, peeling fingernails, pale skin. So, if you're fatigued and you're getting adequate rest at night, then my first recommendation is to go and get your iron checked. And if it's low, then you want to go into the health food store and get yourself some iron that's non-constipating, things like liposomal-wrapped iron, which is the type of iron that will stop you from getting constipated and will raise your ferritin, which is your iron storage, quickly. So that's one thing I would do in regards to another thing that's causing terrible fatigue in people that is often not diagnosed is low thyroid. And so you have to get your thyroid checked as well. And these two things are important to get done before you start a fitness program, because if you have low thyroid and you're trying to lose weight, you will not be able to lose weight. You can run on that treadmill for hours, reduce your calorie consumption dramatically and still not be able to lose weight. So getting that thyroid checked and then finding out what the number is on the test result, because the range of normal in BC is too broad and even across the entire country. So you want to have your thyroid number below 2. If it is above 2, then you've got to go into the health food store and get yourself a thyroid support nutrient, because the doctors won't give you medication until it's well over 5.
What are some of the symptoms of a low thyroid?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if we look at the symptoms of low thyroid, weight gain and what we call stubborn weight loss. So those are the people who've done everything to lose weight and still can't lose the weight. You feel tired all the time. You're freezing cold. You have no energy. You might have low moods. Thinning hair is a classic one. Mm-hmm. So here's another hair loss symptom associated with low thyroid. That weight gain and fatigue are big ones. People feel like they're pushing themselves through the day. So if you've got those symptoms, go get checked, because the reason why you may not have been successful on your weight loss programs in the past is because your thyroid is low. And, when it comes to weight loss, once we hit that magic key, so if you get your thyroid fixed and you get your iron back where it needs to go, and one of the things that happens to weight trainers, bodybuilders, runners, is that they sweat. And when you sweat, you lose iron. So a lot of fatigue happens because you're losing iron. You're not replenishing enough. So I really believe that people should be taking 10 milligrams of elemental iron every day anyway. But weight loss programs are all about eating lots of protein at every meal, and eating. That's one of the big things. You've got to have, you know, small meals throughout the day so that your blood sugar always stays balanced. Lots of protein, green veggies, and healthy fats.
Lorna, you know, some of the symptoms you mentioned, including, you know, thinning hair and low energy, seem to be similar between iron, you know, deficiency and low thyroid. Is there any relationship between low iron levels and thyroid issues?
Absolutely. It's a great question. Well, for women, when you have low thyroid, they often get heavy periods. Two heavy periods in a row and you become anemic, which is very low in iron. Once you're anemic, you bleed more, and then you end up in this vicious cycle. So they are directly related. And we often see women who have low thyroid and low iron going hand in hand. So that's why I always recommend that we get a thyroid test, which is a TSH, and the number should be below 2. If it's above 2, you need a thyroid support nutrient. And I have a fabulous thyroid support nutrient called ThyroSmart that's approved by Health Canada for the support of low thyroid. And then you need iron. And, you know, we're so lucky in the health food store because we have these non-constipating forms of iron that will raise hemoglobin and ferritin quickly.
What are some of the other issues that are related to energy? Because it sounds like, you know, if we have a low thyroid or low iron levels, theoretically, if we went out to the gym and did some exercise, or even if, you know, we said, okay, well, you know, my energy's low, so, you know, Lorna said, go out and do some exercise. But when people do that, you know, do they end up with a deficiency of energy as a result?
Well, it's pretty hard to work out if you've got low thyroid or low iron, and that's why I always recommend people get those checked first and really address them. But when we look at another one of the problems associated with fatigue is exhausted adrenals. Mm. And most of us are stressed to the max these days. You know, we're working full time. We're looking after our families and our homes. You know, some of us are working way beyond the 40-hour work week. And in what happens when we're under chronic, continual stress and we don't have enough downtime is that our adrenal glands, these are two little glands, they sit on top of your kidneys, and they help you deal with stress. When they become tired, oh, then we're completely wiped out. You know, that's when you sleep all night long and you wake up in the morning, you're still exhausted, you can't get out of bed, you have difficulty handling stress, you've got salt cravings, belly fat, lots and lots of belly fat associated with adrenal exhaustion. So, you know, those are the three main things that I see when I'm talking to people about energy: low thyroid, low iron, and exhausted adrenal glands. And I have a free book on our website, An A to Z Woman's Guide to Vibrant Health, which deals with all three of these on our website at hormonehelp.com for free. So people can go and read that book and learn more about these. But it's the key, because if we tell people, you know, it's January, we should all start walking and exercising, but if you've got those three health conditions going on, you're not going to be able to. You're the one who goes to the gym and just says, I just can't do this.
Lorna, what does downtime look like, you know, in a perfect world? You know, if we're talking about supporting those adrenals with rest.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I always get asked about work-life balance, and I kind of chuckle and say, well, I really don't have any. But, you know, you've got to get adequate rest. So you should be, you know, getting into bed around 10:30 and sleeping until 7 and having uninterrupted sleep. People with exhausted adrenals are the ones who wake up at 2, 2:30, 3 o'clock wide awake and can't fall back to sleep. So you want to find a way to have really good sleep hygiene. And, you know, I'm a total fan of melatonin. I've been taking it since my early 20s. I take it every night to get deep, restful sleep. And I love it because it also has some research looking at, you know, helping to prevent breast and prostate cancer in men and women as well. So when we look at sleep hygiene is important. And then asking yourself, do I really need to do all the things that I'm doing every day? Because when the body finally says no, when those adrenals become completely exhausted, that's when the body says no and you just simply can't get out of bed. So, you know, here we are in January and we're telling everyone to get fit and lose weight. And, you know, that's often, you know, the top New Year's resolutions. And yet, if we have these other things going on, it makes it very difficult for people to be successful. So I'm always a fan of don't beat yourself up. Get these few things tested first. And then when you go out there to be successful, you know, we are so fortunate in the health food industry because we have these great nutritional supplements that actually have clinical research to help people lose weight. And so there are several of them we can use for that. And then walking, you know, walking is probably the best exercise we can ever do.
We're talking with Lorna Vanderhaeghe. She is kind of this foremost knowledgeable woman's expert. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about what you can do to increase your energy and lose those extra pounds this year.